We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Franklin.
How to describe Frank?
Frank!
Come in your house. Oh, Frank, my darling. Hey, it's Franklin.
Frank, people should know about you.
Frank! Come into my house. Hey, it's Franklin.
Lighten up, Francis.
I bet you Frank has a few stories.
I was just thinking that.
Of what?
Have you put your foot in your mouth recently? I mean, have you said something to a fan, a non-fan? Have you said something
your wife?
You get back in the car and you go, oh, what did I do?
I'm trying to
don't
think.
Mean to
I mean,
ambush you, but
I'm sure it happened just within the last 2 days.
Right. We shared this with you because we talked about that at the top of the show.
Yeah.
And Paul told a story where just last week we were on a work event and this man was sitting next to him and he opened his
older man,
and he opens his laptop and he sees this very lovely woman and he says, oh, is that your daughter? Dude goes, no, it's my wife. So Paul, of course, mumbles under his breath, good for you. I don't know if the guy heard him, but it was,
that moment. The guy kind of turned to me and snickered, and he had a little bit of a grin, and I'm like, oh, boy.
I know someone that got the last week the, hey, congratulations, when are you due? And she wasn't pregnant.
That's
she's
a
not
common.
Pregnant.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah.
Woman texted us a story that says at the airport, my kid pointed to a man in a trench coat with long hair and exclaimed, "Mommy, is that the Wicked Witch of the West?"
Fabulous.
Ooh.
The kids will always get you into trouble. The kids will always.
Kids are honest.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
So think about that maybe as we talk about the Fryplex.
Yes.
I guess Mr. Mayor Fry is really pushing the fourplex, or they're now calling it the Fryplex?
That's it, yeah. So, you know, critics are calling it the Fryplex, and the plan is, you know, so Jacob Fry runs on a platform of more affordable housing in the city, and now he's trying to implement that to a certain degree, and he's getting a lot of pushback depending on what neighborhood you're in. So have you heard of this thing called Minneapolis 2040?
No.
This is the, like, master plan, like, you know, Minneapolis 2040. What's Minneapolis going to look like more than 20 years from now? Mm. And part of that proposal is to allow a fourplex to be built in every part of the city. So right now, you can only, about two-thirds of the city is zoned exclusively for single-family homes. Right, you can't have a duplex or a fourplex. But the plan is saying that every part of the city should be able to have some fourplexes in there as part of the, you know, city's main comprehensive plan, this Minneapolis 2040. And it's getting some big blowback depending on what neighborhood you're in, especially ones that are congested, you know, like when you get around Linden Hills, when you get around Kingwood, places like that, you know, that are already really dense. A lot of people are like, where are we going to park?
Mm-hmm.
When you do,
yeah.
If you're going to do a fourplex, you can't even park with single family housing. So they say there's nothing final, and they want public feedback, and they're probably going to get a bunch of it. They're going to have a meeting at Southwest High School tomorrow, and that one should be probably a lot more crowded than the one that we went to earlier in a different neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're just trying to figure it out moving forward and trying to adjust right now so they can kind of have a comprehensive plan moving forward. But the idea is getting a lot of pushback. But that's the trend now in cities, right, is more density.
And there was an interesting article in the Strib on this yesterday. We thought about delving into this on the show. You know, they were talking about density. You know, cities that are more dense, if there's more density, it'll make it more affordable. Yet when you look at cities like Hong Kong or L.A. or New York, I mean, those are the most dense cities in the world. And God knows the rents are sky high.
And Jor, all of those cities have some sort of, and I know we have the light rail and it's terrific, but a lot of these cities that are extra dense have subways.
Sure. Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
They have multiple options to get people around. Until you can solve the, you know, the one guy sitting in one car problem, challenge, I can understand why people are concerned about this.
Yeah, and you know, and some people actually take a whole different tact going like, hey, you know what, why don't we educate people and get them decent jobs and let the market kind of take care of itself?
Mm-hmm.
you know, and you can certainly say there are certainly issues with that when you look at Minneapolis right now, too. So a lot to talk about. We'll attend these meetings. We just kind of haven't done a lot on Minneapolis 2040. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure that, that we brought it up and, like, people were at least aware of what's going on.
Sure.
You know, because I think a lot of people, especially when you go on these neighborhood websites and message boards, they are lighting them up. They're concerned about this moving mm-hmm. forward. So.
You know what's going to solve this problem?
Tell me.
Flying cars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Personal rocket boosters.
Yeah.
I like
it. We all have a jetpack.
I like it.
That could work.
Don't joke. I like it.
For sure.
My own little drone.
You can beta test them, Jordan.
Bring it. Well, no, I'm not going to do that.
That would be great.
Yeah. I'd watch that video.
That would be great.
And what's going on in St. Paul?
You know, this is not breaking news that O'Gara's is going to change their place dramatically, but today we got some pictures, and it looks really cool. So we talked to Danny O'Gara. I mean, this is third generation, mm-hmm. right? This is a bar.
It's a fixture.
That yep. has been sitting at Selby and Snelling for 80 years. So the redesign is completely different, but the pictures and the rendering look really cool. It's going to be a much different. It's going to have 163 apartment buildings above it, 205 parking stalls, some co-working space, and also retail. And then at the bottom will be O'Gara's, you know, the restaurant and bar that everyone's known for so long. But, you know, they've been on that corner for, you know, more than 70 years, and they just know that they need to kind of change and redevelop things. So they're going to go to the / restaurant, retail, apartment complex and make better walking space along the sidewalk and go ahead and try to get the, you know, the thing all approved by the city of St. Paul and change things up dramatically on that corner.
I can't get over how cool St. Paul is now. The lower town area, I was over in Mears Park, and I just walked around that neighborhood for a while.
Yep.
Had the best chocolate croissant of my life.
Oh, really?
And Higa, I don't know how you pronounce it, H-Y-G-G-A. Anyway, I mean, there's just a lot of cool stuff going on in St. Paul.
CHS Field.
Yeah, and it's growing. You know, CHS Field is 4 years old now.
Is it? I remember being there on opening day CHS Field.
We blinked, and there it is. Yeah, so they opened yesterday afternoon, and I was like, 4 years, really?
Wow.
But it is.
It's going fast.
Wow.
All right, Franco, thank you as always. And tomorrow, if you have an embarrassing story, we will lead with that.
Oh, fabulous. The chances, I think, are very, very good.
It humanizes you. Trust me. I'm a weather guy. Trust me.
I am human.
Have a good one, sir.
Bye, you guys.
Thanks, Frank.
It's 4:19, a little weather therapy when we
return.
A
special hot and sweaty edition of weather therapy when we come back on CCO. Corn sweats. It's called evapotranspiration.
Something about that weatherman I don't trust.
NOAA's models are hinting at a negative phase of the Arctic Oscillation.
I'm going to report you.
Hey, Bryce, you better get over here and take a look at this.
Engelgard Mozart was checking out the weather chart to see if it was safe outside.
I don't like that weatherman. He's a very slick weatherman.
There tends to be higher pressure at the North Pole.
I'm turning you in, weatherman!
So you have the Eris Pulse weather app,
I
right?
do, and I love it.
You're just saying that, but thank you.
Because you
right
made
thing.
It. That's right.
Well,
it's yours.
No, some very smart developers that I get to hang out with.
No, I love it. Handsome Husband uses it. We all use it. It's very user-friendly. I like it a lot.
99 cents, one-time charge. Mm-hmm. I get none of that, by the way. but I got an alert from Eris. The temperature, Jor, is forecast to be 90 degrees at 4 p.m. Thursday afternoon.
That's hot.
Could be our first 90. And I think there's a very good chance that we will see 90 on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week. We could go 5 days in a row above 90. Low to mid-90s, factor in a dew point of 65 to 70, and it may feel like it's well up into the 90s. So. Mm-hmm. Classic July weather. The average high now, not that our weather has ever been average.
Mm-hmm.
The average high now is about 70, 71. So this will be well above average, instant summer.
Bring it.
On our scale from warm, hot, stinking hot, this will be up in the stinking hot range. So make plans accordingly. We're keeping an eye on an area of disturbed weather right now. In the Gulf of Mexico, there's now a 40% chance that this may strengthen into at least a tropical depression, maybe even Tropical Storm Alberto. The models indicate this thing could stall right around New Orleans for the better part of 3 to 4 days. We see this with more frequency now, where weather becomes sluggish, pattern stall. You know, Harvey last year, 65 inches of rain in the suburbs of Houston. Not predicting that, but certainly there could be some flooding issues if you have friends or family in Louisiana or southern Mississippi. They want to just stay up on the latest forecast. This could be a big weather maker by the weekend. And it was on this date back in 2011, a strong EF1 tornado with wind speeds up to 110 miles an hour struck North Minneapolis. It actually touched down not too far from where you live, St. Louis Park, and then it tracked 14 miles into North Minneapolis before dissipating in Blaine. Again, at one point, this thing was half a mile wide. So when people say, well, we don't get tornadoes here in the Twin Cities, I say, well, they're rare, but every now and then we do. And I saw something in the Star Tribune that made me do a double take. We don't live in Tornado Alley. Tornado Alley is Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas. It heads up. Tornado Alley extends into parts of Iowa. But we do live in tornado cul-de-sac. We get an average of 29 or 30 every year, Jor. Mm-hmm. There have been just over 400 tornadoes in Minnesota since 2010. That is four times more than touchdown during the 1950s. That doesn't mean that we're actually seeing more tornadoes. It's just with Doppler radar, with this new sensitive technology, we're picking up more tornadoes that might have gone unnoticed 40, 50, 60 years ago. Since 1950, there have been just under 2,000 tornadoes in Minnesota, injuring nearly 2,000 people and killing 99 Minnesotans since 1950. Again, during that time period, more than 30 of those nearly 2,000 tornadoes touched down in Hennepin County. The most in a single year was 2010, 126 tornadoes touched down just in Minnesota back in 2010. Again, the statewide average is about 29 tornadoes per year, but that can fluctuate wildly. The only other thing I wanted to mention, I would bet a stale corn dog that next winter will not be as severe as the winter we just experienced.
Why?
We are heading back into an El Nino. When the Pacific warms, as it does periodically, that's a natural cycle. We alternate between cool phases and warm phases of the Pacific, and there's a much better chance of milder winters when the Pacific is warm. Mm-hmm. It keeps our winds more westerly blowing from the Pacific instead of polar coming in from the U.S. We won't get snow, not to say we won't get cold fronts. Of course, we'll get cold fronts, but odds are next winter may be a tamer, kinder, gentler winter.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, but I don't want a stale corn dog.
It reminds me of the state fair. We're going to have typical state fair weather from Thursday through Tuesday,
yes.
Low 90s. And a lot of people are excited about that.
I am.
When you consider that we were still ankle deep in snow a mm-hmm. month ago, it's like turning on a light switch. Instant summer.
I love it.
So it's coming.
I love it all. It's also 4:30. When we return from the news, Paul and I will go far beyond the headlines on CCO.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Headlines.
Okay, we picked straws. I'm the loser again.
We didn't.
This is a quickie, but it got my attention. What the heck is going on in Sweden? Sweden is ready for war whenever it may break out. Sweden.
Really?
The government is sending out war pamphlets to its 4.8 million households, informing them of the perils of battle. I looked at some of these pamphlets. It's actually startling. It's the first time Sweden has done this since the 1980s. They're concerned about Russia. The Russians have allegedly violated Swedish airspace and territorial waters, so there's serious discussion in Sweden about joining NATO. Sweden has also increased defense spending, reintroduced the draft, and put their troops on the strategically important island of Gotland.
Watch out, world. Sweden is in Gotland.
The Russians, they're concerned about.
Comcast website bug has leaked Xfinity customers' data. All right, the bug has since been disabled, but I'm telling you this because you might want to go back and check your passwords and your Wi-Fi codes. A bug in Comcast's website used to activate Xfinity routers can return sensitive information to the company's customers. Well, the website used by customers to set up home and internet cable service can be tricked into displaying the home address where the router is located, as well as the Wi-Fi name and password. The password then can also be changed. Only a customer's ID and customer's house or apartment number is needed, even though the form asks for the full address. And you can get the ID or the house or apartment number just by looking at an old bill that has been thrown out. So remember, it's possible to rename the Wi-Fi network names and passwords, temporarily locking users out. So if you're having trouble with your Xfinity right now, you may want to call the company. Comcast said after publication on MSN, it has removed the option for that bug to be infiltrated from its website. But heads up, you may want to go back and check your passwords.
Houston, we have a problem.
That's it, Jerome. I'm quitting the internet. Once and for all, I'm weaning myself off the interwebs.
No, you're not.
Okay, do you write your own tweets?
Of course I do. You mean my staff of thousands doesn't write my tweets?
Are you sure? You don't have an assistant?
Unless Comcast has gotten in and changed my passwords, yeah.
Well, a headline caught my eye. Are those tweets really from President Trump? White House staffers who compose tweets for President Trump's Twitter feed often add grammatical errors.
Oh, come on.
And an abundance of exclamation points to mimic him more realistically.
I don't believe that at all.
Two people familiar with the process told the Boston Globe that some of Trump's staffers believe the error-laden tweets boost the president's standing among his supporters by making him appear more relatable. The key features the aides use to replicate the president's writing style include an overuse of the exclamation point, capitalization of random words, and fragmented, loosely connected ideas, according to the report. Staffers generally include 3 to 4 sample tweets in a memo to the president anytime they want him to comment on a specific topic, sources told The Globe.
I believe he writes every word.
You think?
I do.
Let's get him on the phone.
A Border Patrol agent in Montana detained and questioned 2 U.S. citizens. For what reason, you ask? For speaking Spanish.
In the video, please, why you ask us for our IDs, please?
Ma'am, the reason I asked you for your ID is because I came in here and I saw that you guys are speaking Spanish, which is very unheard of up here.
Okay. Yep, it's unheard of in Montana, apparently, to speak Spanish, and that's why a Border Patrol agent detained and questioned 2 U.S. citizens who were doing some grocery shopping. They went outside to the parking lot, and the Border Patrol agent stopped them and asked them for IDs. One of the women then turned on her phone, and again, you heard what happened. Why are you stopping me? He said, it's because you're speaking Spanish. Just so you know, the ACLU says speaking Spanish is not a valid reason for Border Patrol to question or detain you. The Constitution prohibits all law enforcement agencies, including CBP, Border Patrol, from racial profiling and arbitrary searches and detentions. I tell you this story to just let you know it happens. And once we have awareness of this kind of bias, we can make ourselves aware and maybe shut it down a little bit.
To which I respond, el clima es fantástico.
I will not ask you for documentation. I appreciate
I'd love to show you my documentation.
That you're bilingual.
I will show you my Costco card. I am a member of a very elite club.
I get to
march into Costco and just wave my card.
I want you to keep speaking Spanish.
Okay. All right. This didn't make the headlines of the Star Tribune, but I thought it was interesting. A Stillwater angler hauls in a monster record-breaking sturgeon. It took Jack Burke 45 minutes to reel this beast in, but it was
a
Minnesota
record. It looks
like
a monster.
Huh?
It looks like, do you have the picture in front of you?
Yes.
It's enormous.
The Stillwater angler was with his friend on the Rainy River up in Coochiching County. They were having a great time fishing for sturgeon. They landed 20 fish in 3 days, including 6 lake sturgeon over 60 inches. But then Burke landed something bigger, 73-inch sturgeon, the biggest recorded catch and release lake sturgeon ever found in a Minnesota lake. He made the catch earlier this month on May 4th, around 11 a.m., using a musky rod with an 80-pound braided line rigged with a circle hook and crawlers.
If I was swimming next to that, I would definitely think it was some kind of lake monster.
Think that thing would nibble at your toes?
Okay, I would be freaked out. Former NBA player Devin George has been developing North Minneapolis for years, and now he has a new partner, Kevin Garnett. George Garnett and a South Carolina real estate firm are close to purchasing 3 vacant lots in North Minneapolis on the northwest corner of Golden Valley Road and Penn Avenue North. The lots will be combined with 3 others that George's company, Wayzata-based George Group North, already owns on the west side of the block. The team plans to build a 64-unit apartment complex with 10 units for those making 50% of the area's median income and 54 for those making 60% of the area's median income. The project costs about $15 million. There you go. Kevin Garnett getting on board with the affordable housing in North Minneapolis.
All right. Good to have him back in
like
the picture. This is why another reason why the North Koreans hate us. In New York City, you can get gold on your chicken wings. There is a restaurant in Manhattan called the Ainsworth. And 24-karat gold dust on your chicken wings.
Who wants to eat that?
Wings are brined for 12 hours, coated with a house-made dry rub, baked, flash-fried, and then coated in a thin layer of gold dust. Despite the luxurious luster, Jure, these wings are almost affordable. They will not break the bank. You can get 10 gold-dusted wings for $45 or 20 for $90.
Is there any nutritional value in gold?
No, this is if you're taking somebody out and you just want to show off or just be stupid. Gold. This is, again, for people with more money than sense. If you feel
I see
like
what you did there, than sense. More dollars than sense. I get you.
You feel me? Okay, if you feel like splurging, there's an option to get 50 gold-dusted wings plus a bottle of Ace of Spades champagne for a cool grand. That grand also includes a bit of celebrity connection as Ace of Spades is owned by Jay-Z.
Yeah, I kind of hate us about that story, too.
Yeah, wretched excess takes it to a whole new level.
Today, the NFL owners put aside 3 hours for a privileged session to talk amongst themselves and family members about sensitive topics, i.e. kneeling during the national anthem. One idea being floated in the room goes like this. It's up to the home team to decide on whether both teams come out of the locker room for the anthem. And if they do, and they still some people still kneel, there's a 15-yard penalty that could be assessed for kneeling.
What if you're tying your shoelaces?
I think we would know, and I think that might be an open phone on this show. We might have to open the phones and see what you think about that. 15-yard penalties for kneeling during the anthem. Yes or no?
Really?
We might have to talk about that.
Huh.
Stay tuned. Formulate an opinion. We might have to do that tomorrow.
All right.
Get your scores from a guy like me who knows what it's like to have a groin injury.
Skiing down the hill. I'm going on no hands, just having a leisurely time. Fire away with anything you got, and I'll just keep you in. Whoa!
Hey,
all right,
Mikey.
Mr. Mike Max, that last. Oh! That
always
no!
gets me.
That
it always
was,
gets me.
That was Phil Hughes.
He
made that was Phil Hughes saying, but he just fell, and he fell very, boy, that was an easy landing because he fell on $22 million.
Yeah.
Oh, that feels good. Yeah, it's nice and soft.
I wish somebody would designate me.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, designate me anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
Phil was an interesting study since the Twins signed him. He had the year that he came up about, I don't know, a third of an inning short or something like that of reaching a big signing bonus if he'd have pitched X amount of innings. And so he didn't get the bonus, but they redid his contract, and he got a nice big contract. And he really has not performed much since then. And a couple years ago, I know, internally they said, what are we going to do here?
It doesn't look like he's got the makeup or what we want going forward, but there's nothing they could do because they're straddled with the salary. So they kept trying. Last year he got hurt. He came to spring training this year. They had very low expectations for him, but they, you know, as long as you got him under contract, you might as well let him give it a shot. Well, it didn't work as a starter. They used him in the bullpen, and finally you just say, let's eat the mistake because we got better people we can run out there, and all he's doing is taking up a roster spot right now. That's always a bad one when you got to let those guys go.
Ouch. Yeah, all right.
What else are you working on?
Yeah, what's going on with the Wild?
Well, they signed, you know, Paul Fenton is going to be their general manager. Mm-hmm. He comes from Nashville, where he worked with Craig Leopold. And he's kind of a grizzled veteran, 58 years old. They tell me he's kind of rough around the edges, that kind of a guy. And he takes over for Chuck Fletcher. So it's going to be really interesting, Paul and Jordana, because he doesn't have a lot in terms of being able to make deals or do things to work with here. He's going to have to get a good draft in place. But he's got an aging roster that's still pretty good, and they got a chance to be good next year. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it's going to be a challenge because he's got these guys that are aging mixed with these guys that are supposed to be in their prime that really haven't hit their prime in terms of their performance. So it's a tough job, but it's a good job because it's the Minnesota Wild, where you have lots of support and lots of people interested in all those things. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he tries to put his stamp on this thing.
Very, very interesting. You got a passionate fan base. God knows that.
Passionate fan base. That's good, you know.
Always good to hear from you, Mikey. Thank you so much. We'll be watching the Twins with you tonight.
Thanks, Mr. Max.
All right, thanks, guys.
We'll be back here on CCO. Talk about those 18 protesters arrested this morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.